Okay, I want to begin this talk by talking about circular polarized glasses. So circular polarized glasses have been heavily promoted by industry because they allow customers to roll their head relative to the axis of the monitor. And unlike linear polarizers, you won't get a lot of luminance or ghosting when you're wearing circular polarizers. So on the face of it, that seems like a good thing. It allows this young couple, this young girl, to put her head on her partner's shoulder. So that's a good thing. But we're going to ask whether these actually really allow you to be more comfortable. And we have reason to believe that allowing head roll may make you more uncomfortable. Okay, so let's begin by looking at a normal stereo 3D display. And as you all know, stereo 3D displays can simulate different viewing distances by adding in horizontal disparity to the display. And in this case, we're adding in a horizontal disparity that varies sinusoidally over time with an amplitude of A. And we're not going to add in any vertical disparity. You wouldn't really want to do that. Okay, and this effectively simulates different viewing distances. Now, we know that there are problems associated with this. As discussed before, it suffers from the accommodation vergence conflict, and this can cause visual discomfort. But what's new? What happens when the head is rolled? So here I'm just going to simulate what happens when the head is rolled. And it might not be clear from this image, but the eyes need to undergo vertical vergence eye movements to fuse the stimulus. And if I just show you the view of the eyes, hopefully it becomes clearer. You can see the sort of line between the interocular axis here. Well, one eye is looking up, while the other eye is looking down, or vice versa. That's vertical vergence. And we believe that's going to be uncomfortable for observers to do. In this slide, I just want to introduce simulated head roll. So in our experiments, rather than rotate people's heads, which is hard to control, we actually rotate the stimulus instead. So in this case, we've rotated the stimulus. The head is not rolled. You still have to undergo vertical vergence eye movements to fuse the stimulus. Just a little bit of maths here for you. What happens when we add in head roll, simulated head roll? Well, in this stimulus, we just have a non-zero disparity. And here are the equations for what happens when we add in head roll. And the only point I want to get across is that essentially when you add in head roll, you're converting the horizontal disparity into vertical disparity. And if you go up to 90 degrees, then hopefully you can see there's no horizontal disparity left on this monitor. There's only vertical disparity. Okay, so why would making vertical vergence eye movements be more uncomfortable? I mean, if you were just as good at them as you were horizontal eye movements, then this really wouldn't be a problem. But the fact of the matter is that although you make vertical vergence eye movements fairly frequently, you make them every time you look off the horizontal and vertical meridian, the fact is you don't tend to make very large eye movements. In theory, vertical vergence eye movements can be quite large if an object is very eccentric and very close towards you. But ultimately, if something's very close, what you tend to do is you tend to move your head, you tend to move your body, and just look at it like that, rather than making large vertical vergence eye movements. Okay, so here's a demo. I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work, but you need to wear your polarized glasses. Hopefully, we can turn the lights down as well. And this is an example of the stimulus we use in our experimentation. And here we're simulating an angle of head roll of 15 degrees. And hopefully when you watch it, you should feel yourself undergoing a bit of vertical vergence. And for those close up, you may get a double vision the whole time, I'm not sure. But hopefully that should feel uncomfortable. So it's a sinusoidal grating. And it's got a horizontal disparity, which is changing sinusoidally over time. But we're also simulating 15 degrees of head roll. So there should be some vertical vergence requirement necessary to fuse the stimulus. Okay. So if we can just carry on. Okay, so hopefully that would have been very uncomfortable for you. And so here's our hypothesis. Our hypothesis is going to be that head roll increases visual discomfort when you're viewing these stereo 3D displays. So how are we going to test for that? Well, we're going to use a comparison paradigm. And this is going to work. We're going to set a subject in front of a 3D display. And then first off, we're going to show them a condition with zero simulated head roll. So that's the condition illustrated here, where there is horizontal disparity that varies sinusoidally with time, with a peak-to-trough amplitude of 1.4, 2, or 2.8 degrees. And they're going to view that for a minute. Then our subjects are going to view a non-zero head roll condition. So that's a condition that either has 10, 20, or 30 degrees of head roll. Then after they've once they've watched the first and then the second, then we're going to give them a comparison questionnaire, which asks them to compare the first session against the second session. Very straightforward. And I should note that in the real experiment, we actually randomize whether the non-zero head roll condition goes first or second. Okay. So a little bit about the question. So this is the most important question we ask, and it's which session was more uncomfortable for the eyes? It's a 1 to 9 scale, and if they report 5, then they're saying that both sessions are equally uncomfortable. Less than 5, then the first session was more uncomfortable, and greater than 5, and the second session was more uncomfortable. We ask a few more questions. We ask which session caused more blurry vision, which session was more nauseating, which session caused your eyes to water more, which session caused your head to hurt more, and finally, which session caused your back to hurt more. And this last one's a sort of control condition, because we wouldn't expect head roll to cause your back more to hurt more. Okay, so this is our basic setup. And once someone's answered the comparison questionnaire, what we do is we give them a 1 minute break, and we repeat the procedure again for a different condition. And just to recap, we had 3 amplitude conditions, 3 head roll conditions, so that's 9 conditions in total. Okay, and so here are the results. This is for the sort of what we feel is the most important question. So it's the average result for which session was more uncomfortable for the eyes. It's the average for 19 subjects. Scores greater than 5 indicate that the head roll condition was more uncomfortable. And we're just plotting the different amplitude conditions and the different angles of head roll here. And just briefly, we can see that sort of head roll does make people more uncomfortable, and this effect increases with increasing amplitude. But I don't want to spend too much time on this figure. Instead, I want to replot the figures in terms of the vertical disparity amplitude needed to fuse a stimulus. And if I replot this data, really what's happening becomes much clearer. So here's the small amplitude condition, the median amplitude condition, the large amplitude condition, and plotted all together, we can see we get a very strong linear correlation between the vertical disparity amplitude needed to diffuse a stimulus and people's reported scores of discomfort. And we get a nice strong R score here, and that's highly significant. I'm also going to plot our responses as a function of the horizontal disparity amplitude. I forgot to mention it, but there's obviously the accommodation vergence conflict in our stimulus as well. And as we add in head roll, in fact, that conflict will reduce. And this is, so we might expect to see that effect in our data. So I'm just going to replot the fatigue scores here, and here's for the small amplitude condition for 10 degrees, 20 degrees, and 30 degrees. Well, of course, as we add in head roll, we're decreasing the horizontal disparity amplitude needed to fuse a stimulus, yet we seem to get an increase in discomfort. So that's the opposite of what we'd expect from previous data, which has showed that the accommodation vergence conflict is highly fatiguing. We can plot this for the median and the large amplitude condition. And what we find is that we do get a significant R score as we plot as a function of the horizontal disparity amplitude. But I'm going to argue this is a little misleading. And that's actually because this horizontal disparity amplitude is actually correlated with the vertical disparity amplitude. And if we want to pull those two things apart, what we need to do is a partial correlation. So here are the correlations I've shown you before. This is the correlation between vertical vergence and discomfort, horizontal vergence and discomfort. Here, we're going to do a partial correlation. We're going to factor out the horizontal vergence amplitude. And when we do this, we see we get almost no change from this initial correlation up here. So it appears like the horizontal vergence amplitude is not contributing to our effect. And in fact, if we do it the other way, so we factor out the vertical vergence, so we're just looking at the how well horizontal vergence predicts fatigue, we see we get a poor R-score, and it's not significant. Okay, so here's just the responses to the other questions. Again, we're plotting these as a function of the vertical disparity amplitude, because we found out this is the pertinent dimension. I'll just go through these one by one. So which session caused more blurry vision? Well, we get a strong effect here. So head roll seems to cause, or rather vertical disparity amplitude does seem to cause blurry vision. Which session was more nauseating? We get nausea too. Which session caused your head to hurt more? We get headaches. Here's the control question. Which session caused your back to hurt more? It doesn't really seem like we're getting an effect there, so that's nice. And also, which session caused your eyes to water more? We're not really getting much effect there either. Okay, so just finally to summarize. So we've shown that viewing stereo 3D displays with head roll is more uncomfortable than without. We've shown that horizontal vergence does not predict discomfort in our data, and you can sort of interpret that as the fact that when we have this vertical vergence in there, it really is much, it's so fatiguing that really it sort of swamps out in a predicted effect there. And going back to this issue of circular versus linear polarizers, well, perhaps now we can argue that linear polarizers are perhaps best. If somebody's watching a 3D cinema and they roll their head and suddenly the luminance is gone or they're getting ghosting, they're going to be kind of trained or forced to keep their heads upright, and they might not get these headaches or this discomfort associated with head roll. So perhaps it's better to have linear polarizers after all. And then finally, just to say that ongoing research, we're actually getting our subjects, we're actually forcing our subjects to have their head rolled as they view the display, and we're running that as a control. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are questions.
Thank you, Andrew. Christopher Tyler, Smith Kettlewell. So the general way that stereo displays or stereo movies are constructed is that the main object is usually around zero disparity. Mm-hmm. The background is usually way back. It's only occasionally that the object that you're focusing on has a non-zero disparity. So these objections would only apply for non-zero disparities, right?
It would certainly have to occur for non-zero disparities, but vertical vergence eye movements tend to be stimulated by a large area of your visual field. So if the average vertical disparity is non-zero, then I think it probably will stimulate these eye movements.
You haven't looked at that aspect of it.
So we did actually have one condition I haven't shown you in this data where we had zero mean disparity and we had the head rolled. And you do actually get a small effect in that condition, but it's much, much smaller than the sort of larger effect we've shown here. Yeah.
Hi, so Nick Holliman, Durham University. So when you simulate head roll by simulating image roll, or using image roll instead of head roll, are you missing out a cue from the vestibular system that your head's rolling that gives your eyes a cue to counteract that?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And do you know how big that is?
It's small. I think it's around 10%. And so we'd expect that to reduce our effect, but certainly not get rid of it.
So Lenny Lipton from Laurel Canyon. The linear polarizers have a very much higher dynamic range than the circular polarizers. And the circular polarizers shift color and lose dynamic range with head tipping. So your recommendation may be too simple with regard to the virtues of linear.
Yeah, I mean, I know very little about the other differences between those two types of lenses, I have to say. So.
Well, thank you for collecting this data. I've been needing it. We did a study recently where we have boom operators working distance of 60 feet. Mm-hmm. We're trying to decide, do we want our display up close or far away, virtually collimated? We found a big advantage to putting the display far away because it minimizes divergence with head roll. I wish I had your data set.
Okay.
A few months
Thank
ago.
You. Fine.
Just a quick comment. In flight simulation or driving simulation in 3D, people tend to roll their heads when they go around a turn.
Right.
Have you seen anybody in the audience here seen issues with that? Because that would give them fatigue. Right. And there's some really sophisticated setups for that.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that in flight simulation, but we track the head, so you take the divergence effect out with head roll tracking.
Okay. Okay.
I was just wondering if you fix the head and if you didn't, did subjects tend to compensate, roll the other way, counter roll?
No, I don't think so. it's a fair question. When we fixed the heads, we were on a chin rest and a support for the forehead rather than using a bite bar. So there was room for them to make a compensating maneuver if they wanted to. But we don't think they were doing it very much. I did watch them, so.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.